everybody. Bob Clastor here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, as heard every Friday night here on KCRW. I'm having trouble getting started tonight. Tonight we're going to be listening to stuff off of one record, and it's entitled The Meaning of Life by Mal Sharp, the man on the street. And this is a fairly odd record, but I find it very funny. Mal Sharp goes around to people on the street with his tape recorder and asks them very odd questions. Well, you'll hear. the people that he talks to turn out to sometimes steal the show from him, but his character is endearing in and of itself. Actually, I should also mention, I've gotten a lot of requests for the address that I gave last week for the No Art Theater poster, so I'll give that at the end, so get your pencils ready, and let's listen now to Mal Sharp. The reason it's called The Meaning of Life is one of the running themes, again, as you'll hear, is he asks people the meaning of life. See, that really didn't need explanation at all. Let's just listen to the record, shall we?
Question of the day, sir. Meaning of life. Ma'am, can we ask about the meaning of... No? How about you? What's the meaning of life to you?
Who are you with?
I'm the man on the street. I'm just a... this just isn't working out today. Now my tape is running out here, and... How you doing today?
I'm not doing okay.
I'll tell you what we're talking about today. Do you think in our society that we sweep death aside too much? Do you think we're afraid to really confront the meaning of death?
I mean, nothing. You die, you die. That's all. What the heck? I don't where you think about that, nothing.
You know, you might be the ideal guy to help me out on this project. Because of my work, I'm a man on the street. The Food and Drug Administration has given me one dead body. What I would like to do is place this dead body someplace where people can see it, put it on display. Do you live downtown here
I live on Figaro and 8. That's an apartment house.
Could you bring the body and perhaps just prop it up on the stairs of the apartment house?
No, I couldn't. You mean a dead body? Heck no, I wouldn't want to bring it up there. They'd throw me out of the place.
Are you just uptight because you would have to take the dead body on a bus to your place where you live?
On a bus? Hell no, I wouldn't want to do that. How are you going to put a dead body on a bus and take it up to the apartment house where I'm living?
Where do you go for enjoyment?
I go out to Marineland once in a while and ball games. Sometimes I walk out to the ball game.
If I give you a couple bucks, would you take, you know, for the bus fare, would you take the body, if you don't want to take it to your house, take it to the ball game this week?
No, what the hell kind of a deal is that? No, I wouldn't do it under no circumstances. Why, how the hell are you going to go up there with to take a dead body to a ball game? What do I be ridiculous? Whoever give you this job is just nuts, I think.
What place are the Dodgers in right now?
They're 3.5 games behind.
And there going to be a lot of people at the park?
No, they always get a good crowd.
So it would really be a good chance for us to really give people this experience, to get them a little more accustomed to the fact that death is part of life. Death is part of baseball.
Well, who are you working for?
Why should there be a whole park full of live people?
Well, yeah, it's life. You're going to go sooner or later. Anything could happen today in this world. Now, you know that.
Yeah.
You're with a bunch of nuts today, brother. Yeah. Watch your nuts, you know. Yeah.
Would you have the dead body sit in its own seat or on your lap?
Well, it depends on make him stand up. He'd be stiff anyway. Otherwise, you can't sit him down. He's not going to bend.
Yeah.
Rigor mortis has already set in.
Yeah.
The only thing I can figure out, maybe stand up with him. Or after a ball game, too, there's somebody in the back line will knock you out. Hey, sit down.
People in the ballpark, they want to be reminded of that.
Nah, not if they're enduring themselves. Heck no. Would you like to go out in a ball game and have a dead person standing in front of you? Huh? After you're paying $3.50 to get in, or $2, whatever it is? No. I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Okay, bye now.
He's looking back at me now. Excuse me, ma'am. Question of the day, meaning of life? Now? How about you, meaning of life? Okay, now wait a minute. Don't walk away. Tell me.
Well, walk with me then.
Okay. No, all right. Now, we'll walk up
specific.
The street here.
Be more specific. You gotta come out and tell me what you mean. You want the meaning of life. And I like to talk. Let's go ahead. Shoot away. I'm Virgo. I love it.
There was a guy on the news last night. He wants to take a bunch of people and return them to the first weekend of their life.
Now, be more specific. What are you trying to say?
Yeah, do you know about rebirthing, where people re-experience their birth?
Uh-huh.
He wants people to re-experience the first weekend of their life, and he wants to hold a big...
Ain't no way he can do the first weekend of his life, because the first weekend of his life probably was when he was about a couple of days old or something. Now, ain't no way in hell he could be virtually impossible for him to tell you about his first week of his life. I know the guy even told you that if he did, to tell him, I say he's an idiot, I don't give you the richest man in California.
He wants to put these people in diapers, bring them down to a hotel ballroom in downtown L.A.
I'm all for it. I'll go down there. Where's it? Give me the card. Where's the location?
No, I'm just curious. What do you think of that? Would you wear diapers?
Yeah. If it's all for a purpose, like signs, yeah. I'll do it.
What did you say? Would you wear diapers?
I wouldn't wear a diaper down the street for nothing.
No. I'll explain what it is. He gets a big ballroom down at, like, the Biltmore Hotel. He rents it out. The same place that Est has their meeting. He doesn't believe in this diaper thing.
Because I know when I come back out, it's going to be the same thing out here, you know. When I take the diaper off, I know what I got to do, you know. I got to go to work.
I'll wear the diaper, bro. Give me the address. I'll wear the diaper.
Did you do it at the ballroom?
I'm totally insane. I'll go out there with a screen up me just like this. Because, like I told you, I'm going to bring it back to you. The meaning of life to me is survival for the fittest, bro. And you got to survive. If you ain't surviving, then that's when the problem get on, the mental stress get on your brain. Yes. See, too much stress and strain on the brain make you go insane. When can I come down there?
Okay, can I tell you, I'm the guy that's running the thing.
I knew that from jump.
You knew it was me?
Yeah.
Really?
You know what? I'm going to tell you, I studied psychology a little bit. And anyway, anytime a person walks up to you and say, well, look, man, I got a friend that hungry. He needed this and that. He's talking about himself. Okay. See, I knew it was you from jump.
I'm trying to organize the diaper people.
I'm all for you, guy.
Really?
Yes, sir, buddy.
You're not putting me on.
I told you that from jump. Mainly what you're doing is trying to, you know, go back into time with your mind.
How can I get a bunch of people that'll go down, put on these diapers? You know, where am I going to find these people?
I'll help you. I'll help you, guy. I'll help you. I will help you. Right. I'm not scared of nothing. You know what I'm trying to tell you?
What about this guy, the guy with you? Would you?
He'll do it.
He'll
do it. He's a follower of mine. Excuse me. Miss, can we speak to you a minute? Excuse me.
Okay.
We're doing a little survey here. We're doing a little thing in the room that where you take off your clothes, put on a diaper. Trying to reach like therapy, like
you put a diaper on me or on you?
On you, me, everybody.
I don't want a diaper on.
You're going back, in other words, like to the womb, only not quite as far.
Oh.
Well, you want to find out what happened in your life?
I've got enough problems now.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to see why you're having those problems.
I mean, there's no shock treatments, no drugs, none of that stuff, you know.
Is that the Biltmore Hotel?
We're going to try and get in there. I don't know if they'll let us in. We're just going to walk in, you know, like Warren Earhart does it.
Well, how can you relive something that you don't even have any remembrance of?
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the mind revive.
So why should I want to do that?
This might be a major outburst, what we're doing here. It might be a major outburst. I mean, I'm serious about this.
You're really into this now.
Yes, I love this. Ma'am, can we have a moment of your time?
You are in Lynn Hall, which is a vocational technical building on campus, the largest complex a vocational technical education, a single building in Iowa, or so I'm told, Cedar Rapids.
Okay, what's the meaning of life here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
The meaning of life is the same anywhere. The meaning of life is that people who are alive can sit around questioning the meaning of life, whereas those who are not have to lie around dead all the time. I hope that answers that.
This is Todd Miller, and I'm with Mel Sharp here in Tijuana, walking down the Avenida Revolucion and the Calle Emiliano Zapata, looking for the meaning of life.
Yeah, we're looking for the meaning of life.
Meaning of life.
Life. You know what that is? Okay.
Looking for young girl.
I'm sorry. What?
Looking for young girls.
Young girls.
Yeah.
You have young girls.
Oh, I got it for you. Let's go take a look.
Where we have to go for this?
For the house.
Oh, come on, they don't have four houses here in Tijuana. Come on.
Let's go.
What?
Let's go take a look.
What are we going to do there?
How far? No, but how far is it? Could we bring... wait a minute. I just want to ask you a question about that. No, can we bring a dead person?
Well, we don't want to charge you for the dead man.
You won't charge me for the dead man?
No. No extra charge because he's dead.
Okay, well, I'm in Beverly Hills now, right in front of Gucci's.
You know this place.
Sure.
What do you think of the prices in here?
I wouldn't go in because I can't afford it.
Are you all here together?
No, I'm with her. I'm with my sister.
I'll tell you why I'm asking you. What's wrong?
You see this chair here? Do you know how much this chair is?
No, I don't.
$15,000.
Seriously?
Absolutely seriously, because I asked.
Wouldn't you like to buy something today in Beverly Hills for a quarter?
For a quarter, yes. Even the $10.
All right, I'll tell you what. Because I'm the man on the street, I am authorized to sell today. If you look behind you, see this trash barrel here? Do you see the garbage in there? I can sell this garbage at 25 cents for whatever you find in there.
Okay. I wouldn't.
Okay, look in the garbage pail. Pick what you want. Give me a quarter. Take it home. And remember, we're right in front of Gucci's. This isn't just the ladies looking inside.
I'm not going to pay you a quarter for garbage.
He's going to give you a quarter for taking garbage away, right?
Why do you want to establish the fact that Rodeo Drive sells garbage?
People can't buy things here. It's too expensive. You go in here.
That's not true. You buy quality, sir.
You're going to learn the meaning from life in this. I'm going to reach into the trash here.
Here's an ice cream sundae cup that I'm taking out. Look at this. Somebody wiped their lips. Ugh, it's horrible.
What are you trying to push off on us?
Take this disgusting thing home.
What are you trying? I'm a New Yorker. What are you trying to prove? You're trying to prove.
Tell him why he's on the wrong track.
Come here, look right in there. What are
you pointing to garbage for when there are so many other beautiful things?
Where is this garbage from?
I don't give a damn where the garbage is from.
It's Beverly Hills garbage.
No, there's no garbage in Beverly Hills.
See ya.
Mal has just climbed out of our car and he's walking into a construction office. This is Sandra Sharp.
What kind of place is this?
Air conditioning.
Yeah, there was a guy last night on the news. He claimed that there's a real imbalance in nature. And the reason is that certain insects pass away and no one pays any attention to them. Do you have any feelings about that?
Yeah, I think the guy's coming in on 3 inches. You know, who cares about insects?
What he claims basically is that in store windows like this, that flies will pass away. No one pays any attention to them. They just lie there on their back, and that's what's causing a lot of disharmony on the planet.
Flies? Huh? They, yeah. What good are they? They don't. What kind of balance do they put into nature?
His idea is of having the NFC, and they would take care of this.
The NFC?
The National Fly Cemetery. This guy wants to have a proper burial service. Instead of having their souls lie upside down on the floor.
The guy ain't playing with a full deck, you know?
Who?
He's a little
the guy who wants to have a fly cemetery,
he's
you
touched.
Know?
The guy's touched.
Fly cemetery, Christ.
Clean them up, you throw them out in the garbage.
What about ants and grasshoppers we fly?
They usually die outside. I mean,
no, they don't. I got a lot of dead ants all over my kitchen sink, you know?
But when an air conditioning unit is placed, let's say, in a window, does it ever collect flies?
Yeah.
When you go into service, are there ever a bunch of flies lying around?
Yeah, mice, rats, you know.
In air conditioners?
Bugs. Yeah, sure.
What if I got, let's say, a priest or a rabbi to come in here and teach you one brief little prayer? Would you say it when you open up the air conditioner if you find a dead fly in there, you know? Is that too much to ask for you, from you?
You're asking me that. You're really asking me that. Will I say a prayer over a fly?
Don't you think that if you, yourself, had some compassion for a dead fly once in your life, you know, instead of just stepping on it or sweeping it away, that it might open up a lot of channels of love that are in your heart right now?
No.
God, this is a real discouraging comment on the human race. And as far as you're concerned, the National Fly Cemetery is what?
It's dead.
Mal has walked back onto Lincoln Boulevard, and he's talking to some guys on a coffee break.
How many times, seriously, have you looked in a store window and seen a dead fly?
Why should we feel sorry for a fly? We don't feel sorry for a dining needle.
The National Fly Cemetery movement is on the way right now. And
of course, one starts, you should have another one who starts. Have a National Cockroach Society.
I think a fly just died. They're going to go pick him up.
There was an ambulance there.
We could either recycle flies from the windows. We could turn them into things to be eaten, you know, like fly burgers or fly escargot or...
But what if you have, a Muslim fly? What do you do with...
I'll tell you, people are starting to get with it. And God, there's another ambulance going by.
A dead fly, I think, yeah.
I'm sorry, you said there's a little more to this than what?
Than meets the fly.
There's a guy here who suggests that to kind of show that we're open to change, that we change something about ourselves every day, that we change our underwear 6 to 8 times a day.
Do you honestly believe and think that that is possible, that a person would change their underwear a half a dozen times a day, which would mean 42 times a week?
Have you ever heard of that book, The Chinese Book of Changes, the I Ching?
No,
you
know, no.
If you could change your underwear 42 times a week, you would begin to see that you could change your attitude 42 times a week instead of being narrow-minded.
Say for supposition, 9 o'clock in the morning, you made up your mind about something.
Yes.
10 o'clock the same morning, you decided, no, that's not right, I'm going to change my mind on that.
Maybe...
That wouldn't be stable.
Well, that's the point. Things aren't stable. That underwear that you thought was there all week, it's not there all week.
But then again, are you trying to change the world by wanting people to be so drastic in everything they do and everything they say and to change their underwear and everything else? If they change their underwear, they will change everything else in their life.
Tomorrow, just change your underwear twice. And if you see me out here again...
When I get back tonight, I'm going to change my underwear. I will have a shower tomorrow morning, and once again, I will change my underwear. If I feel better, and if I can really and truthfully and honestly say to you, by changing twice, it did make me feel a lot better, I'll change again.
But you're willing to be open?
Yeah, sure.
It was really nice meeting you. Underneath it all, you really are willing to...
Yes, I'm getting with it, but not quite as far deep into it as you would like me to be.
You don't think you can change the world by changing your underwear?
No, definitely not.
Nobody would stop and talk to me today. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
What's the meaning of life?
Inhale and exhale.
Life is living.
Yeah.
Life is all about love.
What are you hitting him for?
We just came back from the Pussycat Theater.
You know, someone has suggested, you know, that people do spend a lot of time making love, and they expend a lot of energy, and that if they could do something, if couples could do something while they were having sex, can you think of anything to do during sex that would be productive?
Eat? That isn't productive.
How about making hamburger patties?
I couldn't do that. Not while I'm...
Really, if there was a pound of hamburger just to your left?
I couldn't concentrate. Whenever I'm making love, I have to concentrate on what I'm doing, not the hamburger patties.
If I gave you 2 pounds of hamburger, would you go home tonight, and if you do make love, make some hamburger patties, and then I'll try and sell them, let's say, to McDonald's or...
How much money would I get out of this? What would I get to profit?
Well, let's say if you could make $100 a night making hamburger.
I'd make the shit out of hamburger patties. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be concentrating on my woman. I'd be concentrating on making money.
What would be the best position?
The dog position.
Where would the hamburger be?
I guess on her back. So, obviously, the longer I last, the more hamburger patties we get, right?
Have you made hamburger patties like this before?
No. No, hell no.
How about you? You know, you could put like...
you a question? Yeah. What's the purpose of this?
I'm trying to find out the meaning of life.
Have anybody ever flicked your bitch?
Wouldn't this turn you on as you were making love to know that he was making hamburgers on your back?
Yeah.
What's wrong? You're looking at her and it's right away.
I was thinking, you know, I was trying to figure all this out, you know? We're going to make this a real situation, right?
And what I'd like to do, because if this works out, we're going to try and make some commercials. We'd like to just film you.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's slick to me.
Now, would you be at all nervous if there also was a dog involved?
God damn.
Okay, well, I think I'll stay out here. This is a Fairfax Avenue, and it's kind of the heart of the Jewish section in Los Angeles. It's the only place I've ever interviewed people where you can really attract a crowd. Let's see what happens here. Guy just pulled up on the street here in a Cadillac Seville. Can I ask you a question? How you doing today?
Not bad.
Why are you doing so well?
I'm Italian. I come from the gutter slums of New York City. And I remember when I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. Now I write a check out for $50,000 like it was nothing. Appearance doesn't necessarily mean everything.
Well, you got nice two-tone shoes, white and blue.
Yeah, they were given to me by Rudy Valli, by the way. He gave it to me. He's a Frank, a friend of mine.
Describe Rudy Valli's shoes. I just want to,
They're just a soft imitation leather. White top and a blue bottom, and they're very comfortable.
To show that you're not a captive of your own money?
I'm not a captive to anybody, to anything.
Would you give me Rudy Valli's shoes?
If I had something to wear home?
I'll give you my shoes.
Okay, you got it.
Now, do you know what your husband is going to... Come here a second.
I think he's going to give you his shoes, and you give him his.
I'm not giving you Rudy Valli's shoes. I'm giving you my shoes that Rudy Valli gave me.
Why are you doing this?
They're
both taking their shoes off now and exchanging shoes.
What am I now wearing?
You're wearing my shoes. That was a gift to me from Rudy Valli.
By the way, I've got to tell you that my feet are really beginning to hurt now. Mine are size 13 and yours are size what?
About an 8.5, 9.
I envied those shoes. I wanted them. It's like a lot of things in life. You see something, I wanted Rudy Valli's shoes. Now I have the shoes. And what's happened to me?
They hurt.
You really can't live in the other man's shoes.
Pista, Durka.
What are you telling him?
She wanted to know what's going on here.
Why you give them to you? You're so nice, man. Beautiful shoes.
They're not Rudy Valli shoes.
No?
My shoes.
But he gave them to you.
You got to stress that point. Yeah. It's very, very important.
Would you?
What kind of shoes you?
Could I sell you Rudy Valli shoes? For $1, you can have Rudy Valli shoes.
$1? Okay.
She's giving me the dollar. What have I given you?
A Rudy Valli shoe.
He's going to have to give me the shoes back because I have to get home.
Now you're complaining?
You're trying to get the shoes back?
No. Simply because I can't walk.
Let's say one final thing to Rudy Valli right now. Do you want to say anything to Rudy?
Well, I'm very happy I got the shoes for only $1.
That's nice. What is that thing that Rudy Valli used to sing?
My shoes are your shoes. Your shoes are my shoes.
Well, it's afternoon now, and I'm getting my shoulder's a little tired from lugging around this tape recorder, but I really feel I'm getting close to an answer here. I'm really up for this. Here comes a guy that's going to climb on his motorcycle. What's the meaning of life to you, sir? He's thinking about it.
The real meaning of life is money first, pussy second, and getting high third.
I know what life is. It's a magazine.
Very good.
It costs 20 cents, but I only got a nickel. That's life.
Life is a trip, that's it.
Okay, great. Oops, he almost fell over his dog.
What is the meaning of life? Yeah. Life is the difference between me and rock.
Me, I am a shoe salesman.
If a tongue and a shoe could talk, what would it tell us about the meaning of life?
I'll say save your soul.
And you know, when you go to synagogue on high holidays, you pay. And when you go to Baptist church, you pay. What are we paying for?
Chlorophyll.
You're telling me that everything people have studied for years is meaningless and that the answer to life is chlorophyll?
Life is through plants. It comes to the earth, through the sun, through the plant, to the man. Chlorophyll is the answer.
Do they have the meaning of life here?
We did turn it
meaning
down.
Of life?
I have no idea, sir.
What?
You'd have to check with front desk if they're having one here.
That's why it's called the secret of life. If it wasn't a secret, it'd be the banal of life. It's like when I was playing pinball the other day with the glass off. The glass was off the top of the pinball machine, and the guy just let me play, and you could just grab the ball and throw it anywhere you wanted if a bad shot came down.
Yeah.
There's no challenge in life with the glass off.
What do you think the meaning of life is, sir?
The meaning of life is to sell.
It's a nice odor in here.
Plastic fillers.
Okay, the question today is, do you think people get better faster when they get out of the hospital instead of hanging around after surgery?
They get well quicker at home.
Somebody has suggested here in town, there are a lot of people that want to get out of the hospital, but there's no one to take care of them. It's been suggested that the local merchants put these people up for a week or so in their business places until they get on their feet. What kind of business is this?
Paint and body shop.
Yeah. If you could, like, put a bed in here someplace.
Oh, no. He'd kill him in here.
I don't understand what you mean.
No, with the different chemicals we use around here, no one can lay in here in a hospital bed.
You'd have somebody, let's say, who just had open heart surgery, okay?
Yeah.
Theoretically, he'll get better a lot faster.
But, you know, a body shop wouldn't be the place because he really couldn't get any rest. You got grinders, hammers.
Well, the point is to get him up. You don't want...
No.
Don't you think this would tell us something about the meaning of life and the fact that we were more attracted to life than being in a hospital? That we didn't want to take part in suffering, that we wanted to get back in the world?
Until you go in there to spray, you're right. What happens if you paint a 70 Buick Electra,
yeah.
Four-door. That Buick's going to take up 90% of that spray booth. Yeah. When I get ready to go in that paint, I have to turn the blowers on. It makes a lot of noise in there.
Yeah, but he'll be in an oxygen tent, fed intravenously. It's not as if you have to give him a sandwich.
What you don't realize, if you walk in that spray booth with your glasses on, you'd have that overspray film on your glasses.
And just talking with you, there's a certain kind of energy. The hospital is more sanitary, but this is more stimulating.
See, you'd be shooting plastic paints like Imran. Plus, there would be water, like 1.5 inches of water all over the floor to keep the dust down. Yeah, scare him half to death.
Yeah, I think you would be a heck of a person to be with instead of hanging around with some doctor or something.
You're right about that. You have the right idea, but the wrong type business.
Let me ask you, what's the meaning of life? Have you figured it out?
I'm not Jewish. I'm Protestant, but I love Jewish people. My brother went to Hamilton High School in Los Angeles. I like Jewish people. I love them. Jewish people. Jesus, I love them. I love Jewish people.
Okay, this is Mal Sharp, and today I'm in Seattle, Washington, for another edition of Meet the Merchant. And today our merchant is Mr. Norman Durkee, and the gentleman with me is what?
Nick.
Nick, I'd like you to meet Mr. Durkee here.
How are you?
Mr. Durkee has been denied a permit to have a booth here in the marketplace.
Well, what's the reason?
What happened? Why were you denied, a permit here at Pike's Place?
It had something to do with the health code, some kind of health thing that you can't sell human hair at the Pike Place Market.
Why would you want to sell human hair at an outdoor market like this?
Because hair is the essence or the meaning of life, and it should be part of everyone's diet.
You mean for eating it? For eating hair?
I don't understand this, Mr.
How would you prepare it then?
I take it, I collect it, I sterilize it, then I cut it into lengths that are easily eatable. You know, like have a soup maybe, put a few onions, a few bay leaves, a little cloves. And,
I used to get I had a meal one time up in a restaurant, I won't mention the name, in a restaurant up there. And geez, I got a hair in my soup. And boy, anything is more revolting to me is to have a piece of hair in my soup. Listen, you ever sleep in a bed and get a hair in your mouth?
I think so.
It's kind of revolting in a way,
I understand.
You go in there and greet them. Mm-hmm.
If eating hair could solve some of the problems in the world and could alleviate some of the hunger, why would someone like yourself still be opposed to having a turkey stuffed with hair and chestnuts?
It's the idea, it's the chewing quality of it, the chewing, chewing it.
What do you mean?
Chewing it.
I don't understand what you mean. What?
Chew it. The hair in a stuffing in
that. What to it?
Chew it. It's kind of hard to chew, isn't it?
Is there something demonstration we could do right now, Mr. Durkee, here, that would give this guy a chance to experience your product?
Well, he could probably eat a little of this.
Here, I'm going to hold a little of Mr. Durkee's hair out. Just nibble. I'm holding it toward your face.
This is something new. I never heard of anything like this.
Just munch it off my head right now.
It's long hair. I mean, it comes down almost 12, 15 inches off his head. What are you doing, sir? What did you do?
Nibble.
Yeah. How did it taste?
Kind of, it gags you. That's the thing is.
You did eat a bit of the hair right now.
No, I didn't eat. No, I just touched it with my tongue, but it's...
He's cool. The problem is that most people haven't ever had it prepared. They've just had like one or two inadvertent hairs kind of fall in their mouth. And yeah.
Well, okay, this has been another edition of Meet the Merchant. Today we met Mr. Norman Durkee.
I think I'm going to keep trying, you know, and see if I can get it rolling.
I wouldn't relish it much. There's not much not much taste to hair, you know.
Good afternoon, Sydney's Uniform.
I wonder if you could help me out with something.
I can help you, I'll be happy.
Okay, terrific. Oh, my mind has slowed down a little bit. I just got back from India, and while I was over there, I had kind of, I don't know, rather a mystical experience. I spent about 6 months in an ashram over there with Sai Baba. Are you aware of Sai Baba?
No, I'm not, sir.
I'm really into spiritual things now, and I wanted to get some kind of uniform. You handle uniforms there, don't you?
Yeah, and what vein would that be in?
For instance, I've changed my name. My name used to be Mal Sharp. I've changed it to Baba, to Mal Baba. I don't want to look like a priest or a rabbi.
Now, if you don't want to look like a rabbi, you don't want to look like a priest. What you want is a personal costume, and there are people who will give you this personal service. What
okay.
We have, basically, we do furnish the security guards regular regulation trousers and a bomber jacket, which, of course, is not what you want.
Well,
you're
I don't know.
Security guard.
No, I am very interested in the bomber jacket.
That's fine. We'll be delighted to sell it to you.
If I wore my white robe, would I be able to wear the bomber jacket over the robe?
It would look ridiculous, unless you want to look ridiculous.
Because your sizes are limited, or what?
Can you feature yourself in a long white robe and a bomber jacket? You went to India to study, and you're asking me? And a bomber jacket and a white robe? They'd run away from you.
We're all looking for...
Mal.
Yeah, my name is Mal Baba now, not...
What should I call you, Mal Baba? Mal Baba? I'd run away from you.
But if I came over and touched your middle eye and put some powder on your forehead...
I wouldn't want you to do that, thank you. Just come in here, and if you want to buy a bomber jacket, we'll sell you one, okay?
Okay.
And with this, goodbye.
Okay, well, while I've been looking for the meaning of life, my mother has come to visit me from Sarasota, Florida. Jennifer, do you think my mother's going to know the meaning of life? Do you think Grandma will know the meaning of life?
No.
Okay, let's go in. She's having a cup of coffee now with Sandra, and we'll find out. Heading through the house, through the dining room. There she is, just standing there. This is my mother. Now, we've been looking all over for the meaning of life. We went to Mexico. But if anybody should know the meaning of life, it should be you, my mother. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So would you tell us now what the meaning of life is?
Meaning of life? The meaning of life? What are you trying to do?
Mothers are supposed to be the ones that understand the meaning of life.
I see. Well, the meaning of life, as I have found it, is try to help others the best you can, not be selfish, just live every day the best you can, don't look backwards, be honest.
I don't know what I've been walking all around for, looking for the meaning of life. I just had to call you in Sarasota and I would have had it.
That's right. Okay.
Robins in sing, flowers in spring.
This edition of Funny Stuff. This is your host, Bob Plaster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always
always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.